Tonight's episode of Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio is brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio information and entertainment. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Sign up today for a free audiobook and a free, absolutely positively free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/PWP Radio. Remember to include that /PWP Radio so they know we sent you. Once again, audibletrial.com/PWP Radio. Everybody who signs up helps support the show. Thank you very much and enjoy Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio.
Welcome to Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio at blogtalkradio.com. You can interact with the show by calling 760-888-5749 or use the hashtag PWP Radio on Twitter. Here are your hosts, Jay Aletto and Will T.
You're goddamn right.
Oh yeah, we are back here, Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio, episode number 67. Big show tonight. We're taking it back a notch. I mean, last week we had a very structured, very cutthroat show where we had a lot to do in a little amount of time. Tonight we're just going to have fun, go from topic to topic, might go a little over an hour. I don't think we'll do the full two. But once again, as always, we are live right here from the one, the only, the Jersey Shore. Yes, New Jersey, a place where our governor decides to shut down bridges so people can't get to work, school, or, God forbid, the hospital. Somebody actually died because Governor Christie shut down that bridge. Even though he's denying it, I think it's all his fault. But anyway, as you heard, tonight's show is brought to you by Audible.com. Sign up for a free audiobook and free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/PWP Radio. Also, make sure you follow us on Twitter, at PW Powerhouse, Facebook, Pro Wrestling Powerhouse, and as always, the website that keeps this thing going, keeps this thing on the air, ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com, the much improved ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. We're moving up on the Google rankings. We're getting bigger and better as the days go on. Thanks so much for joining us. If you're listening live or if you're listening on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or on Blog Talk Radio after the fact, we've got a lot to talk about, including our first topic will be the WWE Network. What does this mean for the future of the professional wrestling business, not just WWE. We'll talk about Daniel Bryan, what's going on with him, the big pop he got last night for his turn on the Wyatt family, and this possible concussion he may have suffered from those crazy bumps off the top rope. And we'll talk about Ultimate Warrior going into the Hall of Fame, our buddy Jake Snake Roberts making his full recovery and getting on Raw last week, and we'll talk about TNA, what's going on with them lately. A lot of rumors about the future of TNA out there. So, as always, we have a ton to talk about, and we'll just have fun. We'll have a good time. You can call the show anytime tonight. I'm taking calls all night long. So call the show if you want at 760-888-5749. And make sure next week you're here live because Diamond Dallas Page will be with us. Diamond Dallas Page will be live on the show for about a half-hour interview. It'll be fun. It'll be insightful. And we'll talk a lot about DDP yoga and physical fitness in general because, as you guys know, I love staying in shape. I love physical fitness. And wrestling fans have there's a negative connotation about us, folks. A lot of people look at wrestling fans and think we're lowbrow, think we don't get to the gym, train, we're couch potatoes, sit in front of the computer. You could see by Ryback's Twitter comments all weekend long that he feels the same way. I don't think it's right. I'm not like that. I get my ass up and I do stuff. Started DDP yoga. And I mentioned it last week, but man, let me tell you what, DDP yoga is the real deal. It's awesome. I'm a gym rat. I'm in the gym all the time, probably like 5 days a week or so. And now I don't feel that I need to go that much because DDP yoga is getting everything done. And I'm not just kissing his ass. This is for real. This stuff is great. I've never thought I'd do yoga, honestly. I'm not a yoga type of guy, but like he says, it ain't your mama's yoga, and it definitely isn't. It's got a lot of different guy stuff involved, including the Road Warrior poses and all kinds of different stuff that really gets your heart rate going. But anyway, we'll talk about that with DDP live here next week on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. And don't get it twisted, folks. We enjoy doing this show for you week in and week out. That's the only reason why we're on the air. We enjoy doing it for you. So thank you for the support. And let's bring in our co-host for the evening. That we're going to discuss all these topics with our co-host. Plus, we got a couple fan questions as well. So here he is, TLD.
It's TLD.
Yeah.
Four-time tag team champion. I'm curvy. I'm cute. I'm a champion.
TLD, what's up, man?
Not much, man. Doing wonderful tonight. Just about to get myself a coffee so I can... Sorry. Had a frog in my throat. But I am getting a coffee so we can have a wonderful radio show. Been a little bit of a rough week. A little bronchitis going around the home. Thanks a lot to the wife. But otherwise, everything's going pretty well. She's recovering.
Oh, very good. Glad to hear that, man. Yeah, everyone's getting sick, man. It's winter time. It's a tough time because
I'm finding out what a husband's like. I'm finding out what a husband's supposed to do.
Dude, I'm not married, but I've been going through that for a long time, man. But
yes,
winter time.
You have more experience than I do.
Winter's funny here in the East Coast, bro. It's like, especially this year, dude. It's hot. Like today, 50 degrees. It felt hot to me because the other day was freezing. So it actually felt hot. I'm outside. I'm sweating. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's been really weird. I'm sure. And in fact, when we went to the hospital, there was a plenty of other people that were actually having the same problem. So this is going around just because all the crazy fucked up weather that we're having here. So,
absolutely.
Fuck
make
you,
sure,
weather. Fuck you,
make
global
sure you
warming.
Sign up. Make sure you guys out there sign up for Obamacare if you're if you get sick because you're going to want to need that.
Get your damn flu shots.
Get it done. All right, let's bring in our other debater co-host for the evening. He hasn't missed a show. This dude is here every single week. He's here more than I am, and I'm bringing in – I'd like to consider him the heel of the show, but here's Toph.
The truth shall set you free.
Oh, yeah.
Who's
I'm not
Arena
a heel. I'm a confused tweener.
You're like, who are you? And say you were a wrestler, who would you be? What kind of confused tweener would you be?
Oh, well, I would probably be somewhere in between the lines of, let's see, who's a good example of this? I'd probably be someone like, probably like Jericho, like in his debut days, like his final run in WCW, like when he first debuted, where it's like everybody knows who I am, everybody knows what I'm about. If you want to cheer me. If you want to boo me, boo me. I would just kind of be like a neutral sort of force, somewhere between Jericho and Christian when he did his little Captain Charisma thing like in 05 before he left the first time. I see myself more as a tweener. I'm like a neutral force that calls it like I see it. But if I get booed, then okay. It's like Edge said, he'd rather be the number one heel than the number two babyface. Deep stuff.
Yeah. Great point. CM Punk said the same thing, I think, when he was the number two babyface to Cena. He was like, I'd rather be the number one heel than the number two face. And what'd they do? They turned him heel, and he had a really, really solid run towards the beginning of 2013 and 2012. But, Toph, since you are very opinionated and like to – you just speak your mind on pretty much everything, and that's what I like about you, man. You add a dynamic to the show. So I'm going to kick this question to you first because – a lot of people are glamoring and glowing over the WWE network and what it holds as far as the future of the business and WWE pretty much taking the role and pretty much throwing it out the window. Like I have been saying for months before this entire thing was announced, that buy rates and TV ratings and all this stuff are just antiquated statistics. They really don't matter that much anymore because people on the internet can get this content in so many different ways that it's really hard to gauge who is actually watching the show. Now with the WWE Network, they can really gauge who's downloading what, who's watching what and when, and they can literally, I guarantee you they'll be able to see every single download or stream, I should say, that takes place on the WWE Network. But we've talked about this in the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse group on Facebook, which you can join. It's a closed group, but go search it. You could join it. And you had, you know, some differing opinions on it as some other people did. So let's hear your overall thoughts on the WWE Network and their big announcement last week.
Oh, well, I was confused at first, but now that I've seen the presentation, I get what it was about. See, I thought it was going to be like an extension to, you know, whatever cable provider you have. But now I see it's more like an application you can download like on your phone or on a video game console or on your computer. So now that I see it like that, now I got a totally different mindset on it. So I was kind of confused at first. I don't have a problem with the network. I like the I think as a podcaster and as a wrestling fan, the big draw for me was every single WCW, ECW, and all the WWF, WWE pay-per-views, all unedited. I mean, that's really useful for podcasting guys like ourselves, because every now and then we might look at an old pay-per-view and decide to do a review on it. And, you know, some of these older pay-per-views are just really hard to find online. They're just, you know, hard copies. But if everything's on the network, then we can just go back and look at it. Of course, I'm kind of holding my breath on the unedited thing. Like, I'm sure there might be some edited stuff. I think most of the stuff that might be edited will probably be ECW, namely the theme songs, because for whatever reason, a lot of those theme songs have copyright issues. But, you know, being able to look at all the current pay-per-views, all 12 of them, including WrestleMania, and, you know, only paying $9.99, and seeing the pre- and post events of Raw and SmackDown, as well as seeing NXT as well, because a lot of folks out there have difficulty watching NXT. So you can, there's your good, legit way of watching NXT. It sounds like a good deal. I'm sure in time the price will go up, but I think the $9.99 is just to draw you in, you know, to get the initial subscribers and stuff. I think overall it's a good business decision. The only negative I really have is I just think it's an oversaturation of the product in general. I think it's spoiling a lot of new fans. I kind of miss those days when I was a kid where it was like on Monday you had Raw and Nitro, and then on Saturday you had, like, you know, Superstars and Saturday Night, and that was it. You know, it was like Monday and Saturday, and it was like a long gap. So now with this network introduction, you're basically giving people wrestling stuff like every single day. You know, it just kind of shows you why so many fans today are just so impatient, because there's always something being thrown at you. But I don't have any issue with it. I'm considering getting it. I may not get it at launch, but it may be something I might consider during the summer when I have some more free time. Overall, it looks like a decent proposal, and I'm interested.
Yeah, very cool, man. I think the edits that we'll see are just going to be the typical WWE edits, like you said, theme songs. That's the type of deal where in ECW back in the day, they didn't have national recognition, so they were pretty much going in and using all this copyrighted material. They were using all kinds of songs that they didn't get permission to use at the time. Like, they never had permission from Metallica to use Enter Sandman for the Sandman, because when they put out their Extreme Music CD, it wasn't those actual songs. It was covers of those songs. And what they did is in their live events and whatnot, on pay-per-view, whatever, they would use the actual theme songs because they could get away with it in 1997, 1998, whatever. Nowadays, it's not really like that. Whenever you hear Metallica or even Cult of Personality by, I can't remember the band's name, but Cult of Personality, CM Punk song, you know that WWE is paying top dollar for that music. They're paying those bands for it. They're not stealing it. And that's the reason. WWE, if they were to use all of that music from ECW, they'd have to go back and pay just millions upon millions of dollars to these artists that ECW used. So that's why, like, when you heard Sabu's theme when he came to WWE, it was the same theme he had in ECW, because that was an ECW-produced theme song. Likewise with Taz, even though they changed his theme song anyway, it was still an ECW-produced theme song. But you'll get the typical edits, of course. I mean, I'm glad that Chris Benoit will be on. The disclaimer thing is an absolutely fantastic idea. It covers all angles on it, so now parents won't complain that their kids are going to be watching a murderer on TV. But this disclaimer shows the parents that, hey, Chris Benoit is going to be on. If you don't want your kid to see him, you can turn it off. Now you know. But, yeah, like I said, typical edits, it'll be great. It changes the whole game for every wrestling company out there, including TNA, ROH. I think, personally, TNA and Ring of Honor and these companies that are kind of on the brink should really jump on this kind of service, whether it's signing a deal with Netflix or whatever, because this is really the future. And I know, TLD, you know a lot about Apple products. You work for Apple, and you know a lot about technology anyway, video kind of stuff and whatnot. So from that perspective, take the fan out of it for a moment. What does the WWE Network mean for the future of TV and of digital streaming and all that kind of stuff?
So, to me, more than just having a WWE content, I like the programming. The programming is what's making it a viable product, because now it's not just watching the pay-per-views. I mean, that's an important – that alone is an important aspect. But I think when you look at them creating their own programming on the network, now it's not like you can go back – like right now we can watch Legends House, but you can't watch it like until 9 p.m. tonight, or you can't watch it until 10 p.m. tonight. And it's not like you can go in and watch it whenever. So they're programming it so that way they can have people watch the network at certain times throughout the entire day. So at 7, they're going to have their prime shows at prime time hours. Like they'll have the Legends House at like 8 o'clock. They'll have that for an hour. They're going to have advertising probably built into it. So they get some good advertising out of it. On top of that, you know, you can go and watch – all these new shows that they're creating. They're creating shows for the network. So now we're not only talking about just a library of stuff. We're talking about them creating shows built into the network, and they're going to create tons of shows. Some of them, most of them, all of them are going to be wrestling-related, but they're going to throw different elements at us, like Countdown and WrestleMania Rewind, which I think is a great concept. Countdown basically allows interactive voting to allow how the show is actually going to be made. It's really interesting how the programming is going to be done. And going forward, down the line, I look at this going forward, companies that are like Ring of Honor and TNA, if they need a home, the WWE Network can be the home for them. You know, even though it's not, maybe the WWE doesn't buy TNA or doesn't buy Ring of Honor, but they will program their show under them. And that's where I think WWE is going to be trying to do, is they're going to try to get other whether it be wrestling federations or other sports, and they're going to try to get them to be on that network. And by and having a program schedule throughout the week, that is what I think is the selling point to this that no one else is doing, where MLB doesn't have shows programmed throughout the week. You just simply go on a show and you can watch it. You know, that's what makes it unique compared to anything else out there. And the pay-per-views alone is, you know, they know that people are going to be streaming their pay-per-views. It's known that that happens, and their buy rates aren't as high. The money amount's too much money because they got to pay all these pay-per-view buy. They got to pay money to be on pay-per-view, and it costs them money. So now having $10, you know, from every person in every home, and they're expecting 2 to 3 million people to join up, they are doubling and tripling their money by doing that. Because I think for someone like me who either has either gone to a place to watch any pay-per-view for free or streaming it for free, now with this network, I'm not going to do that because I'm going to want all the content involved. I'm paying $120 a year, a little bit more with tax, to see this, to see the pay-per-views. Why would you not? Why would you not do that? It wouldn't make any sense to me to not do that. And that's why I think the network's going to work with the pay-per-views being built into it and the programming, and then the future programming where other shows and federations could be on that network's umbrella. So if they don't have a home to go to, WWE might pull it out and say, look, you could join our network, you pay whatever you have to pay, and they're going to get some good advertising out of it. Their stock has been climbing. They're a $1 billion company again. I looked on the stock market. I don't know if you look at – Jay, do you look at the stock market at all?
I actually own 2 shares of WWE stock, and I check it out from time to time. I wish I would have bought more.
Okay.
When I told myself – I told Amanda this months ago. I said, they're launching this network. I should buy more of the stock while it's low, but I never did.
Well, that stock has climbed tremendously.
Yep.
They were at about $9 a share probably about a year ago. They're at $17 now. And that went up very high since that happened, since that stock, ever since that announcement happened. They are climbing like crazy. So they are back up to where they were back in like 2010, where they were really high and they really went down for 2 years. Now they're climbing back up, and guess what? They're going to go up even more. This is a huge thing for them because companies look at this as a smart business model. It's not just the content, how it's being delivered, but the how it's going to be delivered is how it's going to work. You know, UFC created the same thing. But, Jay, if, correct me if I'm wrong, they don't have the pay-per-views on that fight thing, do they?
No, what they're doing is they're going to have exclusive fights for that Fight Pass channel, and you can only watch those fights on the Fight Pass. But, like, the first fight they had was two nobody jobbers. It would be like, you know, if Zack Ryder, no offense to Zack Ryder, but if it was Zack Ryder versus Heath Slater on a pay-per-view, that's what UFC pretty much gave you. Although what I heard the fights were good, but they already had their first one, and there was, like, no-name guys on it. But they are saying that there will be big fights through the Fight Pass eventually, but not yet. They're still in beta mode. They haven't really even launched it full-blown yet, from what I understand. They're only doing, like, free trials now and everything. But it's pretty much the same concept. They're opening up the entire library, but they don't have a 24/7 streaming live channel.
Right. And, you know, they're keeping good relationships with the USA Network and Sci-Fi. Like, Raw and SmackDown will never leave television because guess what? USA Network and Sci-Fi are paying WWE for that live spot because it's their biggest draw. Why would they not pay money to the WWE to keep that? So they're not going to get rid of that aspect of it. Raw and SmackDown are going to stay exactly where they are, but that's why they're having post shows and live post and pre-shows ahead of time, kind of like what the NFL, they're taking the NFL model, and they're just kind of putting it into wrestling. I mean, you've been seeing that with the YouTube shows, and they're going to be applying it to Raw and SmackDown now. You know, and I think that's like, this is where and then NXT now is going live, so now you can watch NXT, you know, I think they're having their first one live on Thursday night. So what do you think that's going to do for the other show that's on Thursday night? You know, NXT is going to be part of that programming. You know, if it's on Thursday nights, well, then you got a big issue here. If people would rather watch NXT or watch TNA, you know, and
well,
yeah, I don't know how that's going to be a big thing too.
They already announced on that on February 27th, I believe, NXT will debut on the WWE Network Live. And they're going to have a ladder match for the NXT Championship between Bo Dallas defending against Adrian Neville, who you might know as Pac on the independent scene when he was over there. And they're going head-to-head with Impact, literally head-to-head.
Yeah.
So this is bad for TNA because although TNA just had one of their biggest ratings they've had in a really long time with the Magnus versus AJ Styles match, they're kind of in dire straits right now because they don't have a home. And with the WWE Network launching, it's kind of pushing pay-per-view kind of away. Like, people aren't going to be in the pay-per-view anymore because it's just going to be passé. So, you know, nobody buys TNA pay-per-views anyway, from what I understand. I think maybe two people buy them. But, and don't get me wrong, Will, you also mentioned the TV, which is funny. And we're going to shift over to TNA in just a minute. But the problem here is WWE's TV contracts are coming up very soon. And like you said, networks pay to have WWE programming on the channel. So there's a lot of talk about SmackDown or Raw possibly moving to Spike TV. That's always a possibility. And if that happens, you know, down the line, TNA might be without a paddle. I know their contract probably ends somewhere in October. There could always be an opt-out clause. You never know. But anyway, yeah, the WWE Network sounds awesome from all angles.
Another big thing, too, which I think is smart, just to bring up another fact. You notice how they had the six-month subscriber at the, you know, from February, you have to have a six-month subscription. So that's something you have to be in. But one thing you may notice also is that when that 6 months up, what's the next big pay-per-view after that?
SummerSlam.
Exactly. So, of course, the two biggest pay-per-views they have, they now say, well, you join, because everyone's going to join the first night. You know I will, sure you will, I'm sure a lot of other people will, and they're going to want to watch those six pay-per-views, and then when SummerSlam comes up, they have the option to buy out, but most people will want to watch the second largest pay-per-view, and they're going to keep going. You know, my only concern with the WWE Network is it going to be able to handle the traffic and the volume? And that is why MLB is kind of teaming up with WWE, because they're kind of the backbone of this network, where hopefully that when they launch, they don't have any technical issues, you know, and going forward, they're going to be available on all devices. And this is the future not only of WWE, but this is the future of television, because this is where everyone is now going to create an app or a network on these devices. Cable, as we know it, is going to slowly start going away because of these networks. They already have so many cable. How many times have you had a network go away because they haven't paid their fees or the cable companies want too much money? I've lost Fox Network. I lost Fox during the World Series. I don't know if you remember that, but that happened with Opt Online customers. So
yeah.
Why bother going back to these cable companies, and why not just launch your own app and do it all through the app with the programming? And that's where it's going to go in the future. And that's where WWE is kind of starting, is going to be the pioneers of that.
Yeah, well said. That's exactly what's happening. And MLB has been doing this for a long time. They have a system where you could watch any game live throughout the entire country. Like, say you're a Los Angeles Dodgers fan, you can watch their games here in New Jersey using the MLB app they have. It's the same kind of system. Go on their website, you sign up, and you could live stream the game. And the reason why they're helping WWE is because their stuff is flawless. They've pretty much created the software to do this. And if WWE is going to launch this, I don't think there's any concerns about streaming because they know what they're doing. I am 100% positive when it comes to something like this. If all bases weren't covered, they wouldn't have even bothered launching it now because they just know what they're doing, and it's going to be exciting. And don't forget, you can sign up the day after Elimination Chamber on the 24th. You can sign up at 9 a.m. You don't have to wait until after Raw to sign up. You could sign up that entire day. It just launches after Raw. So that'll be the first time you'll be able to go on and play around and watch Judgment Day 2002, which is the most rare WWE DVD that there ever was, if you want to. So, it's exciting. It's changing the game of TV, of internet, of basically everything. And, it's something that I never thought would actually happen the way it's happening. I thought there'd be a channel at some point. I never thought we'd have access to the entire library, and that to me is exciting because over due time, we'll get the AWA, and we'll get WCCW. We'll get all that old Stampede Wrestling stuff that's awesome. And speaking of Stampede Wrestling, before we move on to our next topic, which is going to be Daniel Bryan and the big turn and pop he got last night and the concussion he apparently suffered, I want to talk a little bit about the winner of the contest that we did with Hart Brothers University, Bobby Vellante. He will be starting this month in Calgary with Bruce Hart and Hart Bros U. So congratulations once again to Bobby. Go out there and kill it, man. Go up there and tear it up. Hopefully we'll have you on the show at some point in the future to talk about your experience with Hart Brothers University. So that's something that's pretty damn cool. Now, last night on Raw, big Raw. They needed something big to happen. We just discussed the network and all that kind of stuff. So, that being said, WWE decided, hey, let's make a moment. Let's strike while the iron is hot and everybody is looking at us, because that's what happened. It wasn't just wrestling fans. You're talking media. I heard it on the radio, random-ass radio shows, talking about Vince McMahon's big announcement. So what they do, they turn Daniel Bryan on the Wyatt family in a memorable moment on Raw. We all predicted that it was going to happen. It's just we thought it would happen at Royal Rumble. As soon as they locked these guys in a cage, I had a feeling they were going to pull the trigger on this, and they did. And it was freaking phenomenal. I enjoyed it a lot. So, Toph, I know you watched last night, and you've kind of been talking a little bit. You didn't think that they should have had him join the Wyatt family at all. They should have never expanded the Wyatt family. They should have just had him keep fighting. And then finally, I guess, ended at some point. But this at least kind of adds to the story a little bit. So from what you saw on Raw last night, what are your thoughts on the way WWE handled Daniel Bryan versus the Wyatts?
I firmly believe that probably an hour before showtime, the creative team was probably like, fuck it, let's just turn him. They realized that what they did was stupid. We didn't need an Austin 2.0. When you turn someone heel, or not necessarily turn someone heel, when you change their character, when you make them do something different, you generally do it when a character has reached their limit. They've gone as far as they can go, and Daniel Bryan, he's nowhere near his limit. He's over. He still gets the best reactions even when he's not on the card. And, you know, it made perfect sense for him to just keep fighting the Wyatts. There was no reason for him to join them. I mean, he was only with them for like 2 weeks. It was just crazy. It was like the opposite of Aces and Eights. The Aces and Eights angle, we all saw that coming with Bully Ray, but it just went on too long. But this just went on too shortly. But, you know, as a wrestling booker, you know, we all make bad calls and we all make bad decisions. We all do things, or sometimes a booking team, no booking team is perfect. You know, every booking team is going to make a mistake at some point. But even if you make a mistake, the way I see it is you try to go to course and make the best of the decision that you made. And I believe probably at some point, maybe an hour before the show, they were probably like, you know what, this is stupid. Brian's getting cheered anyway. Let's just go ahead and turn him back. And it's all well and good because, you know, Brian was going to get cheered anyway. So, you know me, I'm a big fan of Stone Cold Steve Austin's podcast, and he said himself that him turning heel was like one of the worst decisions of his life. It was his idea. It wasn't working. He didn't get booed. I mean, they did a lot of stuff to get Austin booed. He beat Lita with chairs. He bullied Michael Cole. He had to like a bitch during his matches, and the fans were like still cheering him. You know, at the worst, I think maybe he had the most heat with the two-man power trip, and that was just briefly. You know, and then when they did the whole invasion thing, it lasted like 2 months, and the fans were still cheering Austin. You know, I'm glad that they turned him back. You know, it's all well and good, but they shouldn't have turned him to begin with. I mean, it was a great moment and all that stuff. So, and like you said, when I saw that it had to be in a cage match and stuff, I sort of figured that Brian would turn on them there. But, you know, on a side note, though, because, you know, the Brian pop was so big, you know, a lot of other stuff gets lost in the shuffle. Shout out to the Usos for getting some TV exposure, you know, for getting two wins over them. That was a main event segment that they won, and they also opened the show. So the Usos are, they're getting more promo time. I noticed that they had a promo on SmackDown. I watched SmackDown for the first time in like 4 years last week, and I noticed they were doing some promos. They had another promo today. So they're definitely they're doing a lot more with the Usos. So I'm looking forward to that eventual tag team title run because they deserve it. They're like the most legitimate tag team on the roster. Like they've been like the only legit tag team like back when there were no legit tag teams, and they still haven't won the title. So I'm happy to see them get some television exposure and finally get some crowd reactions from the fans. But yeah, overall, you know, I'm happy Brian is back to normal and stuff. So yeah.
Yeah, I understand your point on whether they had this planned ahead of time or not. I am firmly of the belief that WWE had a plan of, hey, let's do it at the Rumble, but that would only be another 2 weeks. So there was no way this angle that has been going on since October. It's not like it was a brand new angle once they turned him. It's the same story. It's Daniel Bryan getting in with these guys and then turning on them from within when they don't expect it. To me, it reminds me of, and you're going to hate this because you're a WCW fan, but when Kurt Hennig joined the Four Horsemen, Kurt Hennig comes in, takes Arn Anderson's spot. As you remember, Arn Anderson, if you guys are new fans listening to the show and you don't remember this, Arn Anderson had to retire. And he gave this really heartwarm speech on Nitro, Ric Flair crying in the background, something where WCW and the NWO actually completely ripped it off a few weeks later with Kevin Nash. And to this day, I think it was hilarious what Kevin Nash did. But I got sidetracked. Kurt Hennig joined the Four Horsemen and took Arn Anderson's spot as, you know, the backbone of the Horsemen, the enforcer, so to speak. And this was leading into War Games with the NWO. And basically what happened was Kurt Hennig, you know, was in the match fighting on behalf of the Horsemen. And what does he do? He turns on Ric Flair and the Four Horsemen during the match and joins the NWO. It was obviously planned by the NWO the entire time. In my mind, this was a plan by Daniel Bryan the entire time. He couldn't beat them physically because it's one-on-three, face it. You know, he's outnumbered. Couldn't beat them physically, so he had to beat them psychologically, beat Bray Wyatt at his own game. And he did that. And that's why I think it was so awesome, because regardless if it happened last night on Raw or if it happened at the Royal Rumble, it was still an amazing moment for Daniel Bryan's career. And it's something that won't be replicated. I don't think it was a deal where WWE had any intention to like, oh, this can't be Austin 2.0. We can't do this again. I don't think it's like that. I think you're thinking too much into it. I think this was a story from the beginning. WWE has no reason to change storylines on the fly anymore unless somebody gets injured or something like that. I mean, or something's completely failing. This wasn't failing. You know, every arena they went to, fans were still chanting yes for Daniel Bryan and chanting no when he was embracing Bray Wyatt. And there were a lot of fans who clearly bought into it. And there were tons of people on Twitter and on Facebook who were saying this like it was the absolute worst thing they could have possibly done to Daniel Bryan. At the end of Raw, that was proved to be completely wrong. There was never, ever, ever, ever an intention to take this angle with Daniel Bryan and Bray Wyatt and him joining the Wyatt family and drag it all the way out to, like, WrestleMania or beyond. Never. That is impossible. It's pro wrestling booking 101. It's a common sense angle to me. You know, a lot of times they've done angles like this where somebody joins the heel faction and turns on them immediately. This happened in 2 weeks. You know, it's really not that long in wrestling time. TLD, Daniel Bryan got one of the most amazing reactions in recent memory. In my mind, it was a moment to kind of solidify the big announcement of WWE Network and kind of get the ball rolling into the Royal Rumble a little bit, because we know next week, you won't be able to do this next week because Batista's coming back. And even in the Rumble, you're going to have focus on guys like Batista, Brock Lesnar's match, the John Cena versus Randy Orton match is going to happen, all that stuff. This was a perfect scenario where the spotlight can be solely on Daniel Bryan. So I want to hear your thoughts on WWE deciding to take him out of the Wyatt family after 2 weeks and pretty much start this storyline coming to an end.
Yeah, you know, I was glad that I don't think it's actually over. I wouldn't be surprised if Daniel Bryan and Wade Bryant actually fight each other in a one-on-one match. We still have not seen that. I think that's where at the Rumble they could do that. They need some singles matches on the card.
Yeah,
they
kind of started the putting the plans in motion to end this thing. You know, like we all talked about the Royal Rumble being that moment where it could possibly end, and then they have the blow-off match at Elimination Chamber. But if they, you know, ended it last night on Raw and they decide to blow it off at Royal Rumble instead, that's fine. It's the same difference.
Yeah, I think this was a plan from the start. You know, putting them in the cage was, you know, a cage is always meant to be a blow-off angle for a lot of things. I thought having a tag team main event was a great idea to do it. I thought the way they went and did that was a smart way to do it. And Daniel Bryan has done nothing but cause the Wyatts to lose matches. And this is just a plan that he's had. And then he had the perfect opportunity to take out Bray Wyatt with him in a cage that had a locked door with all of his men outside. It was a perfect scenario for him to do what he did. And the crowd just loved it and ate it up. I did not expect him to stay in that very long. You know, I mean, what sucks is that we did a WrestleMania planning, and, you know, I kind of had Bray Wyatt in his corner, which obviously is not going to be the case anymore. You know, so I'm really excited Daniel Bryan went back to where he was. That's the way he should be. You know, I expect him to win the Rumble. I don't see anybody else, not even Batista, to be in that championship match. I think Daniel Bryan needs to be in that match to solidify his face run and have a solid reign as a world champion for a long time. You know, and that's what they need right now. They need the next top babyface guy. John Cena is going to go out the door at some point, and they need someone there. And I think Daniel Bryan could definitely fit. The fans are connected with him. You know, they're not connected to him. They're connected to him more than as much as CM Punk. I would say more than CM Punk. You know, so that's why I think he's the right guy going forward. I loved it. I expect him and Bray to at least have a match at the Rumble. I do expect Bryan to be in the Rumble and win it. So that's where I'm looking down the line, but I enjoyed it. It's just a cool thing to watch how the fans just, you know, when you're watching at home, you just wish you could be there doing the same thing.
Yeah, totally a feel-good moment. And it's something where it's going to be funny to see what happens at the Royal Rumble, because I'm hearing and seeing these subtle things that are happening. Like in these Batista promos with him coming back next week on Raw, you know, they keep playing this clip of him saying, "I want to be champion again." So that leads me to believe that he's going to be going after the championship at some point. Whether it's going to be a Royal Rumble victory or not, that remains to be seen. He's got this little side angle going with Del Rio. Brock Lesnar's another enigmatic thing right now, because he's going in fighting Big Show again for the fifth or sixth time, and maybe even more than that. They had a lot of matches back in 2002, 2003. But they're doing this match at Royal Rumble. And obviously, I know a lot of people are complaining about it, and I get it. You know, there you can look back and you could see the old pictures of Brock Lesnar versus Big Show back in the day and stuff. It's just simple. They're not going to put Brock Lesnar in there with a rookie. It's not going to happen. He doesn't want to wrestle a rookie. They don't want one of their prized rookies to be in there with a guy like Brock who can be reckless and effing kill them. At least the Big Show is a veteran. He's worked with Brock before, can protect himself. So you have the Big Show versus Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar can beat the Big Show, have some momentum going. But I think he's a wild card here because Paul Heyman, and I mention this constantly, in every single promo that Paul Heyman has, speaking on behalf of Brock Lesnar, he mentions becoming the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Not one time, not in one of these promos, whether it's Raw with Brock, Raw without Brock, SmackDown without Brock, not one time has he had a promo and not mentioned that WWE title talking point. Even to sit down with Michael Cole that they did in WWE.com, he brought that up for the majority of it. So this leads me to believe that Brock Lesnar will become WWE champion at some point in the future, most likely heading into WrestleMania. I don't think he's going to win the Royal Rumble. Because if he wins the Royal Rumble, then you got your hands tied. But Batista or Daniel Bryan? Now, this is where I want to tie in the show's main topic right now, and that is our Royal Rumble predictions. I don't want to go down the card. The singles matches, to me, you know, they're pretty cut and dry. I think we'd have overall the same kind of opinions on them, and the card isn't even set yet. There's going to be, obviously, maybe one or two more matches put on it. But I want the winners of the Royal Rumble from you guys. And right now, it's up in the air between Batista and Daniel Bryan. If I had to book it, I'd book Daniel Bryan to win it. But I'm going to kick it to Toph first. Toph, who do you think is going to win the 2014 Royal Rumble and why?
Oh, right now, until I see more further story development, I think Daniel Bryan is the most obvious choice. When it comes to predicting the Royal Rumble, especially now that there's only one title and no longer two, when it comes to predicting, what I always do is I think about what everybody else has to do if they don't win. Like, do they have any other programs to fall back on WrestleMania? For CM Punk, his fallback plan is most likely a match of some sort with Triple H. For Batista, if he doesn't win the Rumble, there's other things he could do. You know, let's go under the assumption that Randy Orton beats John Cena. You know, John Cena was the reason Batista left. You could revisit that and have Batista versus John Cena again. Or you could have Batista versus Brock Lesnar. Or you could do Batista versus some other person. You know, there's more stuff for him to fall back on. And my worries are getting mixed up. Who was it? Oh, yeah, Alberto Del Rio as well. Del Rio, he has a little thing with Batista on Twitter. And, you know, Del Rio, every single time he has a match, he on Raw or SmackDown, he seems to mention Batista in some way. So that's another, you know, program Batista can have. But Daniel Bryan, I mean, like, with all the stuff they've done with him, like, where does he go if he doesn't win the Rumble? Like, who does he feud with? Like, sure, I'm sure eventually at some point he'll have a match with Bray Wyatt, but does that really need to be at WrestleMania? Like, after everything he's been through, like, after being screwed over time and again and again and again, it seems like for Bryan, for me anyway, it should be a title victory or nothing at WrestleMania. I mean, I don't see Shawn Michaels coming back. I'm hearing some stories saying he might fight Taker, maybe down the road. I could see that happening next year or something. But right now, at this point, I'm just picking Bryan simply because I don't see what he does if he doesn't win the Rumble, because it just wouldn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there. I think Daniel Bryan's a logical way. I've put it down on paper what I think is going to happen, and I think Daniel Bryan's going to win the Rumble, and he's going to fight Brock at WrestleMania. But you mentioned Batista, and I'm of the belief that Batista is going to have a big involvement with the Authority in some way, shape, or form. I don't think he's going to turn heel, especially not right away. I think he's going to come back as a babyface and probably fight against the Authority, but I think Randy Orton will be the target. I can see a big match between Orton and Batista at WrestleMania because, let's face it, guys, Randy Orton really hasn't had a big match at WrestleMania the past few years. Sure, he had that match with CM Punk at WrestleMania 27, which was really good. The triple threat match with the other members of Legacy at 26. 28, he wrestled Kane. 29, he wrestled the Shield in a six-man. And this year, I think he's going to have a marquee matchup. I don't think he'll be defending the championship. I think somehow, some way, there's going to be kind of a little, maybe a little animosity there between the Authority and Randy Orton. Because we could see that brewing right now. He's flipping out every single time he's on TV about it. So I think that might be the course for Batista at this point. But my guess is still Daniel Bryan versus Brock Lesnar. I think Daniel Bryan's logical. They keep bringing up how long people have been in the Rumble. I think it would be absolutely brilliant if you make him wrestle Bray Wyatt at the Royal Rumble, win or lose. I obviously think he should win the match. But win or lose, you put him in the Rumble, and you have him be an early entrant, one, two, three, something along those lines. And you continue to have the Authority stick it to Bryan without making it kind of like a focus in the story. You just kind of think something's up in the back of your mind. Of course, WWE doesn't really book this way that much. They don't really think about it the way that I might. Maybe they're not as cerebral as I am, but I would keep that story on life support for just a little bit longer and then reveal it when Brock Lesnar's a champion and they start that feud between Lesnar and Bryan into WrestleMania. You reveal that Triple H was the one behind the Wyatts attacking him, behind the Shield attacking Punk, behind the New Age Outlaws turning on Punk, which we're going to get to a fan question in just a minute about the Outlaws. And I think that's the way to go. I really think you need to keep this angle a little bit alive. Not make it the full focus point, but keep it alive because I really think it all ties in together and it'll really just tie into SummerSlam where you basically started the Authority with Orton and Triple H turning heel. It all just ties in together. I think that was the reason why you turned those two guys heel in the first place was to put them in big marquee matches at WrestleMania 30 because if you were to look at the roster, sorely lacking heels. So that's my take. Daniel Bryan's my pick. It's on record. Daniel Bryan's the guy. If Daniel Bryan doesn't win it, I don't think there's any way anybody else can win it besides Batista. TLD, let's hear your Rumble prediction for 2014.
I do see Daniel Bryan winning the Royal Rumble. I just don't see anybody else that, you know, has been looked at as a possibility of a winner besides Batista. You know, CM Punk was just, you know, announced last night. In fact, a lot of guys were just announced last night. And there's just not that many, you know, picks this year. I mean, there have been years where we weren't sure. Remember, Sheamus is coming back, too, on top of that. I do expect to see him back in that Rumble. You know, we'll see what kind of impact. I don't think he's definitely going to win. You know, but Batista and Randy, you know, Batista definitely is going to be number two. I think those two should be the last two. I mean, I think that would be a great little way to end the Rumble to see the top two guys that I think most people are picking for this Rumble win to go forward. You know, Alberto Del Rio is really building up a feud with Batista, which I think is actually good for Del Rio. I think that will really help him out going forward. You know, but I think Toph made a lot of great points of that there's other plans for people to fall back on, but where does Daniel Bryan go besides Bray Wyatt? You know, but we, you know, you got to look at it. I think Daniel Bryan's bigger than that. And I think he belongs on a top four match of a WrestleMania this year, and I see him being the champion. Now the question is it going to be Randy Orton or is it going to be John Cena? And that's where I think his opponent for WrestleMania, if he does win the Rumble, is going to be kind of a mixed thing. We just don't know where that's going to be. So that's the, I think the question mark is who's going to be the champion going into WrestleMania? Because right now it's a toss up. It could be Cena. It could be Randy Orton. It could be someone completely different. So we have to wait and see what the chamber does. And that's going to be the big sell, obviously.
You see, the thing that kind of confuses me a little bit is Daniel Bryan has said a few times, he hasn't really, mentioned it too many times, but he's mentioned it about three or four times that in the event that John Cena becomes the champion, he knows that Cena will give him the rematch that Randy Orton and the Authority are too afraid to give him. And John Cena has also said several times that if he ever became champion, the first person to get a shot would be Daniel Bryan. You know, Cena pretty much acknowledged that Bryan beat him at SummerSlam. And that was sort of like, that was an issue that was never really fully covered because after Bryan beat Cena, Cena was gone. You know, he left for his injury. And then when he came back, all of a sudden he was, you know, getting a shot at the World Heavyweight Championship, and it was just sort of brushed off, never really mentioned. But then, you know, towards the tail end of 2013, Cena started to mention that, hey, you know, you beat me, and, you know, so you're always a champion in my eyes, and if I become champion, then you're getting the first shot. So because of that, a small portion of me can see Cena actually winning at the Rumble, and then he somehow gives Bryan that title rematch that he, quote-unquote, never fairly got, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you know, it makes sense to me because it's up in the air with John Cena. You don't know what's going to happen. I think that, honestly, if it was me booking it, I think you'd have Daniel Bryan beat Lesnar because I still see Lesnar becoming champion. A lot of people aren't agreeing with me on this, and I don't understand why, because it's so cut and dry and it's clear as day that Elimination Chamber is in Minnesota, Brock Lesnar's hometown. And if the WWE World Heavyweight Championship is going to be on the line inside Elimination Chamber, now remember, the reason why they moved this pay-per-view to before WrestleMania is so the champion has that obstacle to get through getting to WrestleMania. They're making it a challenge for the champion to get to WrestleMania. So if they go into this thing and they have a championship match, six guys in it, and you just load it up, you have, you know, Punk, Cena, Orton as the champion, or Cena as the champion, one or the other. I'd say Orton still. You throw in Lesnar, maybe Batista. You could tease your little Batista-Lesnar possible matchup in that. And then you throw in a guy like, say, Sheamus, who I personally think is going to turn heel. And he could be a good guy to wrestle Batista. Like you said, Toph and Will, Batista has a lot of options. So Sheamus could be a guy to wrestle Batista at WrestleMania at some point. He'll have a big match. If Sheamus comes back at the Royal Rumble, you know he's going to have a big match at WrestleMania, no question about it. I even think he could be a guy that getting Daniel Bryan's way. But anyway, I don't get why people don't see Brock Lesnar becoming WWE champion, because if this match, if you lock five other guys in a cage with Brock Lesnar, come on, there's no other possible scenario than Brock Lesnar destroying them. And especially if he's maybe the sixth guy that comes out of the pod, if he's the last dude, then, and he wins the match somehow, some way, then you can tie it all together with Triple H bringing him back, being an insurance policy because he wasn't sure that Randy Orton could handle it. Not saying turn Randy Orton back to a babyface, but you could easily kick him out of the Authority, get him out of there. He doesn't have to become babyface for that. So there's a lot of ways it can go, a ton of ways, and that's why this is so much fun talking about it and speculating, because that's all it is. It's our opinion, and that's what matters. It's not the bullshit news that we read from guys like Meltzer, Alvarez, Keller, and then all these other sites like WrestleZone, Lords of Pain, just copy and paste it onto their sites. So Meltzer's making money, Alvarez is making money, and then Lords of Pain is making money, and WrestleZone's making money just from copying and pasting their news. It's funny business. Anyway, let's go to a fan question, and this is about the New Age Outlaws, and it's from at Jeremy8911 on Twitter, at Jeremy8911. Thank you for the question. He wants to know, ask me, whether I think the New Age Outlaws are going to get a run with the tag team championships. And I think that's a great question, because we saw what happened last night on Raw. They turned their back on CM Punk. They walked out essentially turning heel and saying that they have some kind of alliance with Triple H, because we know where this is going. We don't have to be rocket science and scientists to figure this out. On SmackDown, they have a match against Cody and Goldust, which could, if they win that match, it could give them a shot on pay-per-view at the championships. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't think it's a great idea to put the belts on an older team like these guys who are part-time guys. They work for the company full-time, but they're part-time in-ring wrestlers. However, if you want to get the straps away from Cody and Goldust and use a tag team as a bridge to get them to a team like the Usos or a team like, geez, I don't even know, the Primetime Players, somebody like that. I think the Usos are the best candidate. And you don't really want to involve the Wyatt family because they got this thing with Bryan. And you don't want to involve the Real Americans because they're not really getting over like they were. Then you can put those traps on the Outlaws and have them be just a transitional champion into the Usos. Then, you know, if the Usos can beat them, they're beating one of the greatest tag teams in WWE history and getting the championship match, getting their championships, and the Outlaws can finally have their final match and fade into oblivion. So to answer the question, I can see it happening. I don't necessarily think it's going to happen. I kind of thought about it for a couple minutes and came up with a scenario, like I just said. I don't think it's going to happen, though, for some odd reason. But TLD, answer Jeremy's question for me. Do you think the Outlaws are going to get a run with the Tag Team Championships?
I don't think they're going to run with the Tag Team titles. I think they're – I mean, they have been featured on TV for 2 weeks. I don't know if they're going to be permanent stables on the show. That's so hard to be seen yet, you know, when we find out this explanation of what's going on. I thought putting them in a match with Rhodes and, you know, I don't know if that was the best idea to give them, put them against the tag team champions, because I mean, the Rhodes Brothers have already been losing quite frequently the last couple of, I mean, they won a Raw, but, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I question that, because it's three guys from the Attitude Era and Cody who are in that match. You know, I don't see them being the tag team champions can help them. I mean, if they need a heel, they have plenty of heel teams that are, I think, stronger than the Outlaws are going to be cheered. They're still popular, you know. They're from the Attitude Era. It's hard to boo legends, you know. It's very hard to do that. So I really don't know where they're going with the Outlaws. I think they're going to be – I think it's more of a storyline purpose. I don't think they're going to be there to win the tag titles. But I did like the idea of them walking out. It made sense, and we never really thought about that either, because they were helping Punk out. But now they're slowly turning away from them, and I think it was a smart idea, and it adds more story to it puts a lot of backstory into it. So I did like it for that reason, but I don't see him being the tag team champion.
Well, if you remember last year, the New Age Outlaws won Raw, and Brock Lesnar attacked them and beat the living crap out of them, building into his feud with Triple H in that match at WrestleMania 29. So we know, and also the thing with DX, it goes back to 10 years, not even 10 years, more than that, 15 years. So they have an allegiance to Triple H, that's obvious. Triple H hired them to be Road Dogg's now an agent, and Billy Gunn's a trainer at NXT, so he has hired them to do that. I can really possibly see a full-blown heel turn and then become a part of the Authority and maybe be in suits or something like that and kind of sell out. But whether they get the straps or not, it leads me to believe there's a possibility if they're getting this match against Cody and Goldust. That's the only possibility I see. I don't see why you would book them against Cody and Goldust if there's not some kind of possible way that they can put the belts on them just to be transitional champions. That's all I'm saying. It's kind of like when Kofi Kingston beat Antonio Cesaro last year for the U.S. title, only to get it to Dean Ambrose. You're not going to just have it go from heel to heel. You're not going to have Cesaro lose to Ambrose. It wouldn't make any sense. Toph, same question to you, and then we're going to take a call in just a moment. But same question to you, Toph. You see the Outlaws getting any kind of title run, even if it's in a transitional championship type of role?
Anything's possible during WrestleMania season. I have no problem with them getting a run. The Outlaws, I think the thing about the Outlaws is, like, because of the Attitude Era, they're so loved, they're so beloved. And I think a lot of fans forget how great they were as heels. They were great heels, man. I love their stuff. I remember that was they were like the first tag team that really made me, like, that I truly hated. I remember one of the scariest wrestling memories I ever had was, I believe it was Monday Night Raw, and I think they put Chainsaw Charlie and Cactus Jack in a little dumpster, and they pushed it off the stage. I was, like, so scared. I thought, like, they died, and I hated the New Age Outlaws. I loved their cowardly tactics. They were great heels, but then DX turned babyface, and they just got over, and fans just loved them. But I could easily see them sell out. The tag team division is being revitalized as we speak, but it still lacks that big oomph. Like, it's getting better, but it still lacks that big oomph to just make you go, okay, this division really, really, really means something. I mean, it's getting better, but it doesn't have that big moment to make you say, okay, this really, it's important again. And what better way than to put it on an established, great nostalgia tag team like the New Age Outlaws? That's like the past versus the future right there. And like you said, it's a great way to have Cody and Goldust drop the titles, and a great excuse to get another babyface team over, like the Usos and the Primetime Players. Will it happen? Probably not, but I would not be against it. You know, it's WrestleMania 30. You know how they are of these big, you know, anniversary shows. They will do everything they can to build up the shows, sell a ticket, and all that good stuff.
Absolutely, I agree, and especially with the WWE Network launching, you get to see the New Age Outlaws wrestle a little bit, and then you can go back and watch all their past experiences in the Attitude Era, like I said. And let's take this caller. It's, I believe if I got the number written down correctly, it's Nate, our buddy Nate from the Inside Wrestling show that you can find right here on Blog Talk Radio. Nate, what's going on, man? Thanks for calling.
Yeah, what's up, guys? Yeah, I just want you guys' thoughts on, I know the Ultimate Warrior is finally in the Hall of Fame. Who's going to induct them? And also if the Macho Man Randy Savage finally gets in, who do you like to see do the speech for the Macho Man Randy Savage? So.
Well, that's a good question, and I'll talk about Macho Man Randy Savage first, and then we'll go on with Ultimate Warrior. Macho Man Randy Savage is a tough situation because you got his brother, Lanny Poffo, as people might know as the Genius or Leaping Lanny. Lanny Poffo's gone on record in saying that he doesn't care anymore whether Randy gets into the Hall of Fame. He was against it because he had the belief that Savage's plans that he talked about to Lanny, since they're brothers, that the whole family should get inducted like the Von Erichs. If you don't know, Randy Savage's father was Angelo Poffo, who was never really a huge star in wrestling, but he was a good wrestler. He had that little run in WCW with Ric Flair, with that Ric Flair angle that Randy Savage had in the mid-90s. But he was a good wrestler, not great, but he definitely was legendary. He was a trailblazer, so to speak. And they are a wrestling family. So what Randy wanted while he was still alive was for the whole family to be inducted. At this point in time, fans are just going nuts about having Savage be in the Hall of Fame, as am I. I'm a huge Macho Man Randy Savage fan. I think he, for sure, should be in the Hall of Fame, no doubt about it. But there's a lot of different things that go into it. Lanny Poffo has said, yes, put him in, but he doesn't want any money for it. He doesn't want anything to do with it. He doesn't want the ring. He wants nothing. And you would think that, you know, if you were going to do it, that Hulk Hogan would be the guy to induct him, because throughout their years, they were best friends, and they were bitter, bitter enemies, not just on TV, but in real life. Their feuds and everything were just, their careers basically were synonymous with one each other, with each other from 1985 until pretty much 2000. You know, that's a long time. And even after that, when Hogan and Macho Man weren't friends anymore, Hogan won on Raw, and what was the first thing he did? He goes, "Ooh, yeah." You know what I mean? So I think Hogan would be the guy for Savage. But Ultimate Warrior's tough, Nate. That's tough. I'm glad he's getting in the Hall of Fame, bro. But as far as who's going to induct him, man, it's a crapshoot. Seth Gut and Plan, who writes for PWP, and he's got his own website at Gut Wrench Power Blog, he wrote an article today, which you can find on ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com, about the possible people that could induct Ultimate Warrior. I think he mentioned Hulk Hogan. He mentioned Sergeant Slaughter. He mentioned Sting as all possible candidates. And it's just so freaking tough to figure it out, because we all know that Ultimate Warrior and Hogan don't like each other. And that's a shoot, brother. They don't like each other. It's just that simple. And you look at Sergeant Slaughter as a guy that beat Ultimate Warrior for the title. And you say, okay, they work together. But Slaughter's gone on record and saying he didn't like working with Ultimate Warrior. I keep saying fucking Undertaker. With Ultimate Warrior. And then you take a guy like Sting, who isn't under contract. They were tag team partners, but he just isn't a part of the company right now. So that's just tough to predict. And But man, you know what, Nate, bro? I'm gonna just say I don't know, man. I really don't know. It's gotta be, if he's gonna be the headline guy, he's gonna be the headliner. It's got to be somebody big. I'd say obviously Rick Rude, but sadly he's no longer with us. I'd say Bobby the Brain Heenan, but sadly we know the condition he's in. I'd say, you know, Mr. Perfect. They had so many great matches. You know, he's not with us anymore. There are so many guys that were just like went hand in hand with Ultimate Warrior that really aren't around. And to me, man, it's tough. It's tough. Nate,
I think his end is going to be Vince McMahon, because like you said, it's too hard, because a lot of guys he wrestled with don't like him, and a lot of them pass. So I think it'll end up being like Vince McMahon. But someone said for shits and giggles, it would be funny if the Iron Sheik inducted him. That would just be comedy gold.
I don't think they'll ever give the Iron Sheik a live mic ever again. I just don't see that happening
No.
at all. But Hey, that was a great question, man. And we were talking about
that. For Savage, I was thinking if it's not his brother, I was thinking maybe Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. I mean, I don't think Hogan, because I think a lot of fans will be upset if it's Hogan, because a lot of fans know about Hogan's beef with Savage and Savage's beef with Hogan. So I think that would be bad taste. I think it's either his brother if he wanted to, or Ricky Steamboat, I think.
Yeah, if you do Steamboat, you're kind of just putting off a one match. I mean, they had a couple matches.
Yeah.
But you're really only talking about that one match. And we're actually going to talk about the Hall of Fame a little bit more as well, speaking of different matches and stuff, because there's that rumor that there could be matches getting inducted instead of just talent. There could be matches being inducted in the Hall of Fame. But, hey, thanks for the question, brother. I appreciate it. You want to plug your show real quick?
Yeah, just check me out, Inside Wrestling, on Blog Talk Radio. I'll probably be doing a Royal Rumble pre-show and maybe a post-show in the coming weeks. So that's all.
Okay. Great, man. Thanks for calling, bro.
Yeah, take care, guys.
Appreciate it, man. So, yeah, Ultimate Warrior, it's just tough. It's a crapshoot. And we're going to take this call real quick from 732 area code. You're on the line at PWP Radio. What's your name? Where are you from?
Hey, what's up? It's Seth.
Oh, what's up, Seth? How's it going, my man?
Good. How are you?
I'm hanging in there, bro. And as you may have just heard, I just mentioned the article you wrote today on the Ultimate Warrior going into the Hall of Fame and who might induct him. So what do you got to say tonight on there?
Yeah, I'm happy to talk whatever. I've been listening to the whole show. I would say, I think it would be awesome if they were able to get Sting to do it. I think that obviously it would be a huge deal and would probably have to do with more than just that one appearance. But like you said, the reason why it's tough is because everyone seems to have such a negative connotation with Ultimate Warrior. No one seems to have a great relationship with him at all.
Right. No, you're right, and you make a great point, because WWE has struck deals with TNA in the past. I mean, a couple of years ago, they inducted the Four Horsemen while Ric Flair was still a member of TNA. So it's not thinking that it could never happen, because if Sting is only there in a Hall of Fame presenter type of role, he's not wrestling a match. He's not really a part of the company. I think it could possibly happen. That's a good point you just made.
Yeah, and I also wanted to make a point about you guys were talking about the New Age Outlaws and their role now, and how, whether or not they could be tag team champions now. I think one of the issues with the tag team division, if you think about it, is very deep. We have a great tag team division right now. However, most of the teams are baby faces. I can only really think of the Real Americans as the only true heel tag team right now.
Yeah, it's them, and it's the Wyatt family. It's, Harper
right,
and
the
Rose.
Wyatt family, yeah.
And then you got to kind of pull Rollins and Reigns out of that equation, because they had their run. They held those belts for, 6 months or a year or whatever. So they had their run.
Yeah.
They're not going to get back in it.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like they're going back to it. It looks like they're more focused on either the Shield as a group or the Shield breaking up. And the Wyatt family, even them, they don't seem that focused on the tag team division. They got other things going on. So I feel like the New Age Outlaws are clearly being used as, sidemen for the Authority, for Triple H, maybe to set up Triple H versus CM Punk for WrestleMania. But they're a good example of how there aren't many heel tag teams in WWE right now.
Exactly. If you think about it, you've already had CM Punk interact with Shawn Michaels. You've already had him interact with the New Age Outlaws. I think he had some kind of interaction with Kane last night on Raw, if I'm not mistaken. And he's had his stuff with Brad Maddox in the past. And even with Stephanie and Trips, he's had those little conversations with them as well in the past. So he's really been, they've been dabbling in this buildup since like October, since the Heyman feud kind of blew off. So they've been going with it for a long time, and it's the epitome of long-term booking. It's something that WWE lacked for so many years, but they've kind of been bringing back lately. It's that old-school mentality, and that's something I like about it, because they're kind of planting seeds from every direction.
Yeah, absolutely, and And when the New Age Outlaws turned on CM Punk, I think every single person on Twitter that I saw on my timeline said this is to set up CM Punk versus Triple H.
Yeah, no question about it, man. They're really planting seeds now. WrestleMania season is in full effect. We're just 2 weeks away from the Royal Rumble. So, hey, I'm excited. I don't know about you, Seth, but I'm really pumped up.
Absolutely. I mean, even though Daniel Bryan is, you know, the clear favorite to win, it's still not as obvious as maybe we think it is, you know.
Right.
A couple years ago when Sheamus won, I think a lot of people thought it was going to be Chris Jericho winning it. You know, it's not always who you think it is. When The Rock won it, I think it was very obvious. When, you know, certain times it has been obvious, but the Royal Rumble is not always as predictable as you think.
No, you're absolutely right, brother. And I appreciate you calling in and talking with us tonight. I'm going to go to a little quick break here. But before we do that, I want to talk about something I've talked about over the past few weeks. And if you know the show, you know what it is. And that is Audible.com. Yes, folks, Audible.com. You can sign up today for an absolutely, positively free audiobook and 30-day trial with Audible.com. Audible.com is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the Internet. It is a consumer service that allows users to choose the audio versions of their favorite books with a library of over 150,000 titles, including former guest Lex Luger's book, Wrestling with the Devil. You can get that for free and listen to that book instead of reading it. This is absolutely free. You could get Lex Luger's book. You could also get Dusty Rhodes' book, or you can get Chris and Nancy, the true story behind the Benoit murder-suicide and wrestling's Cocktail of Death. There's a lot of great titles on there, other wrestling titles as well, Hulk Hogan's book, so on and so forth. But users can purchase individual books, or for real savings, you can sign up for an Audible listener program, which gives you book credits for each month for a low, low, low monthly fee. But right now, sign up at audibletrial.com/PWP radio. Don't forget the /PWP radio. That needs to be included, or else our sponsorship isn't going to go through. We're not going to be getting anything for the sponsorship. So you can get a free 30-day trial, an absolutely free audiobook, by signing up right now at audibletrial.com/PWP radio. And after 30 days, if you don't like it, you got to make sure you just cancel it. It's that simple. If you don't cancel it, they're going to charge you. And I don't want you to get mad at me because you signed up. Help support PWP Radio. They give us a nice little kickback. So please go to audibletrial.com/PWP radio and sign up today. We'll be back in just a couple moments. We're going to take a short little breather, kind of get my breath back. Seth, you going to stay with us, or you want me to let you go?
I'm happy to stay with you.
All right, brother. I'm going to put you on hold. I'm going to put Toph on hold, and we'll be back. We're going to talk a little bit more about the Hall of Fame. I want to discuss a little bit more about the Ultimate Warrior. I want to discuss Jake Roberts possibly getting inducted. I also want to touch on the possibility of inducting matches into the Hall of Fame. This could be a way to get around Randy Savage or something getting a traditional induction. And Mr. T's another guy. This could be a way around giving him a traditional induction into the Hall of Fame. So we got a lot to talk about still. I was thinking about having just an hour show, but F it. Maybe we'll go a little bit longer than that. We'll be right back here on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio.
Hulk Hogan show self-pity? Do you, Hulk Hogan, try to reason why? Do you, Hulk Hogan, try and comfort the normals that have even more fear than you? Or do you, Hulk Hogan, kick the doors out? Kick the cockpit door down. Take the two pilots that have already made the sacrifice so that you can face this challenge. Dispose of them, Hulk Hogan. Assume the controls, Hulk Hogan. Shove that control into a nosedive, Hulk Hogan. Push yourself to total self-destruction. As you realize, Hulk Hogan, you are about to enter a world close to parts unknown. Oh, smell it, warriors. Do you, Hulk Hogan, look for a place to hide? Or do you, Hulk Hogan, face that challenge that may be more powerful than even
the big guy?
What's up? This is the Friday Night Delight, FKA John Morrison, and you're listening to Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio.
All right, folks, we're back here on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. Thank you for sticking with us. We got a lot to talk about tonight, and I just played that classic. I played it a few weeks ago, but played again the classic Ultimate Warrior promo. You know, take that plane into a nosedive, Hulk Hogan. Classic, classic stuff. But we're going to get back into it. I'm going to bring TLD back to the show. TLD, man, we just left off talking about the Hall of Fame, kind of what's going on with that, a little bit more about the Outlaws and whatnot, but we're going to stick with the Hall of Fame right now. And the Ultimate Warrior is getting into the Hall of Fame. And what do you think about that? What are your thoughts? Who do you think will induct Warrior into this year's Hall of Fame?
It has to be Hulk Hogan. I just don't see anybody else that would be, if he's going to be, you know, one of the headline guys, Hulk Hogan's got to be the guy. He's not under, he's one of the guys that's not under a contract. They're trying to get him to be a part of WrestleMania. And to me, seeing Hogan and Warrior on the stage together, I think would be perfect. And Hogan, I don't know if he actually ever inducted anybody. I think he inducted one other person into the Hall of Fame. I forget who it was. But I know, did he induct anybody yet?
Yeah, yeah, himself? he inducted Mean Gene Okerlund.
Right, correct. So I think that he, you know, fits that, you know, if it wasn't for Hogan losing at Mania, I don't think Warrior would have been as, that was a big moment in wrestling history, and I think seeing those two in the ring, at least at the Hall of Fame, would be an amazing moment. And I know those two could get along, you know, and I'm just looking forward to Warrior's speech. I think that's just going to be something pretty interesting to see. I think he might beat Bob Backlund, because that was a crazy speech from Bob Backlund. But I'm really looking forward to the Warrior going. I think that was not too much of a surprise, but I'm very happy that, you know, you can at least patch up differences and you can see the value of what the Hall of Fame brings. And it puts a stamp on your career, you know, and it's a big thing, you know. And, you know, the whole thing about, you know, Randy Savage is, to me, you know, with that, there's so many more years. You know, he's going to go in. Just be patient, everybody. There's people that, you know, Randy's not around anymore, and he can't, you know, you have to rely on his family to allow that to happen or to negotiate that to happen. But Randy's not here anymore, and it's a shame if his family's going to be the way they are. Just like how I think Owen Hart's career can't – how come Owen Hart's not in the Hall of Fame? Well, because his wife won't let him. You know, so, you know, there's family involved, and a lot of times, you know, that's who you got to look at as the problem, not really so much WWE doesn't want to do it. You got to look at the people that want him to go in. So Warrior made the decision to work with WWE again. you know, being a part of the Hall of Fame. It's a big moment. I think it's great for us as wrestling fans. I think it makes us want to watch the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and don't forget, there's a very big possibility that you can see that entire Hall of Fame induction ceremony live on the WWE Network the night before WrestleMania. Don't forget about
good
that.
Point.
I think that is a legit possibility, and I haven't heard anybody talk about that yet. I haven't read anyone mention that. I think that I might actually write an article about it and be the first one to do it, because I think that that would be great. I think so many people, if you can't be in New Orleans, I think so many people would love to watch it live as it happens. Because if you're going to have this whole unedited, uncut type of deal, hey, anything can happen there. We know that. Last year, a lot of us on the line right now were there. But, you know, I know you and I were, definitely will. And the fans just reacted to, like, Maria Menounos. They wanted to kill her. They reacted to Donald Trump. They wanted him gone. So, I mean, anything can happen at the Hall of Fame, and I think it would be great if it's live on the network. Let me bring Toph back in. I haven't talked to Toph in a while. And we talked about the Ultimate Warrior. We kind of covered all the bases on him. But I want your thoughts on the possibility of WWE inducting matches into the Hall of Fame.
That would be kind of weird. I'm not really for that. It just seems kind of weird. You're supposed to induct people, not matches. But it seems like a great way to get some people in that wouldn't be in otherwise, you know. Like if you were to induct, for instance, Ricky Steamboat versus Macho Man from WrestleMania 3, that's an indirect induction for Randy Savage right there. If you're going to induct matches, I guess, this is a cool concept, but I guess the thing is, what would be worthy of an actual induction? Like, would it have to be a really good match, or would it have to be like a match that really changed wrestling forever, or would it have to be a match that had a moment that fans will always remember, like Hogan slamming Andre, or Shawn Michaels jumping off a ladder on Razor at WrestleMania 10? Like, would it have to be like, I mean, what would you qualify as a match? Like, what does the match need to have to be qualified to be inducted in the Hall of Fame?
Well, I think moments kind of work into it, but I really think it's just anything that WWE would want to do. I feel like the WWE has a different Hall of Fame from, you know, MLB. I don't know if you guys have ever been to the Major League Baseball, the Baseball Hall of Fame. It's not even Major League Baseball. It's the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York. I've been there before, and it's crazy because players get inducted, but the amount of stuff inside that building that is honored in the hallowed halls of the Baseball Hall of Fame is crazy. You talk about moments. You talk about games. You talk about all this crazy memorabilia. I mean, they have, like, big boards where you can just read historical moments that happened in baseball. And in my opinion, this is something very, very similar to that. Hell, they even have, like teams, I think, like Hall of Fame members. I believe there was, like, a mural of all the New York Yankees who were in the Hall of Fame, and they had them all in one picture together or something like that. I think this is a way for WWE to kind of do something a little bit different, if it's even, in fact, true. I don't even know if it's true at all. But I think there's a good idea, and it opens the doors for a lot of possibilities to switch it up, because they are different from regular sports. Let's face it. It's not, you know, the NFL or the NBA or Major League Baseball. It's completely different. And also, like in baseball and football and basketball and all that, you're not only inducting the pros, you're inducting people from college. You're inducting, like, college coaches, players who just had great college careers and didn't have great pro careers. So there's all different ways that they do it as well. So I think WWE has an absolute possibility to do something a little bit different here. And I'll bring Seth back in. I want to switch a little bit to Jake the Snake Roberts. We saw Jake the Snake Roberts return to Raw last week, man. And there's a lot of rumors going around that he might be another guy to go into the Hall of Fame. Now, we talked to him last month on the show, and he just seemed very optimistic about his future. And, you know, coincidentally enough, less than a month after he's on our show, he's back in the WWE. I don't know if it's got anything to do with us, but, you know, who knows? You never know. But what are your thoughts on Jake Roberts and his return to WWE and the possibility of getting in to the 2014 Hall of Fame?
Well, I'm actually surprised that he wasn't the first one announced, considering that, you know, he had that return. I guess it was 8 days ago. You know, Ultimate Warrior is a huge name, but I think so is Jake the Snake, and obviously we just saw him. So I think that if he were going in and I were WWE, I think I probably would have announced him first instead of the Warrior. But I also question whether or not they're going to put too many guys of the same era in the same year, because if you talk about Jake the Snake and you talk about Warrior and you talk about Macho Man Randy Savage, in the past, the classes of the Hall of Fame have been a mixture of really old guys from, you know, anywhere from the 60s to the 80s, and then guys more recently, 90s and 2000s, and, you know, the celebrity wing. So I wonder how many people from that same era they would induct in the same year. But I definitely think Jake the Snake, if he's not going in this year, it's going to be any year now.
Yeah, I you know, the thing about you mentioning they should have maybe said Jake the Snake Roberts' name first, I really think it's about selling tickets, personally, because tickets go on sale this Saturday. So I think you want to induct the biggest name that you have so far locked in. I don't think that they probably don't have Jake the Snake locked in yet. They probably haven't made that decision yet. I'm sure they only have maybe one, maybe two guys who are guaranteed to go in. I think Paul Bearer is kind of a shoo-in as well. And that leads me to believe that they won't induct another person posthumously, because it's – let's face it, folks. And, you know, it's always a bummer when a wrestler has to go in posthumously. I know Mr. Perfect's already in, for an example, Yokozuna and so on and so forth. You don't want to fill the card with that many people who are dead. It's just that simple. It's you know, depressing. You don't want that to happen. So I say one dead guy or girl tops. You're not. I don't want to go over one dead person a year, because there's so many of them that are deserving. And it sucks to say, and it's really kind of twisted on my part, but WWE literally has a pool, a gigantic pool of dead wrestlers who are Hall of Fame worthy guys that can be inducted at any time. So there's no reason to rush, like Will said, on a guy like Randy Savage, although he's so legendary and beloved by so many fans across the world. It doesn't have to happen right now. It just doesn't. It's that simple. But yeah, Jake the Snake, I think, is a lock. I think he's a shoo-in to go in, and he's another guy where it's just going to be interesting where you give him a live mic on that stage. And believe it or not, I feel like the WWE Network streaming it is a great idea. What do you think, Seth? Do you think that we'll see the WWE Network stream the Hall of Fame live?
I mean, I think it would be a great idea. You know, in the past, we've had I was also at Hall of Fame last year, but in the past in general, all you get on USA Network is the, you know, edited version. You don't get to see it. Everything, and so it would be wise of WWE to show everyone the advantage they have now with the network. And I also wanted to ask you, since we're talking about Jake the Snake, who do you think would induct him? Do you think it would be someone like a Diamond Dallas Page, or someone more from his past when he was in WWE?
I think DDP, without a shadow of a doubt, will be the guy to induct him, because DDP literally saved his life. If you don't know the story, go back and check it out. DDP has a great relationship with WWE. It's true that there's everything positive about this man. You know, there's nothing negative from Diamond Dallas Page, and I'm not kissing his ass. Like, you know, he's going to be on the show next week. It's not me kissing his ass. It's me speaking the truth here. DDP is the type of guy who's a great talker, great motivational speaker. He can go up there and give the best possible induction. He could tell Jake's story in a way where he's speaking it, he's telling the truth, but he's not giving every single detail. Like, nobody wants to know about his serious, you know, drug abuse and stuff, every detail. You know, you want to know kind of what happened, but nobody wants to hear the gory details. I know I don't, but I'll read his book to find out from him. But let's tie this all together, and I'm going to go across the panel now, and then we'll move on a little bit in the show. Toph, final thoughts on the WWE 2014 Hall of Fame, man. What do you expect to happen, and who do you expect to be in it besides Ultimate Warrior, obviously?
Yeah, they'll probably put Paul Bearer in there or Paul Moody. I hate it when someone dies and they put them in the very next year. I always feel like you should wait. You should let some time go by and then you put them in. You know, they do that a lot of times. But I'm pretty sure they'll put Moody in there. Who will induct them? More than likely Kane. I would like to see Taker, but unfortunately, Taker, you know, they don't want him to break kayfabe and all that, so it'll probably be Kane. I really don't know. I hope they do stream it on the network. I'm really, really annoyed and tired every year of, you know, like the night before WrestleMania, you're just basically going on, you know, random websites, and you just have to refresh. And so they give an update about what's going on, and then you have to read it, and you're like, wow, that sounds really awesome. And then they show the edited version, like, on Monday or whenever day it is, and it's not as cool as it was written. You know, so it would be really cool to see the Hall of Fame thing live and in person, or, you know, just live, you know, just to see how it really is. So that would be cool.
Yeah, and I think it'll add to it, too, because, you know, it's cool seeing the DVD when it comes out. It's always an extra DVD when the WrestleMania DVD comes out. But that's cool. They don't really edit it too much. They may edit some theme songs and whatnot for copyright reasons. However, you know, seeing it live is just different. It's a different ballgame. You're not going to know what happened. You're not even going to be exposed to the USA Network version of it. It's just completely different. So, yeah, I think it's a safe bet that WWE will have it live on the network. TLD, your final thoughts on the Hall of Fame to wrap up this topic?
You know, if there was anybody to induct Randy Savage, if it wasn't his brother, I think DDP also is another great option. What a feud they had in WCW as a feud of the year. That would be a perfect guy to put Randy Savage in. I think of anybody who, you know, I know Randy Savage respected and, you know, a guy who's respected in the industry, DDP would be a perfect choice. But overall, I think the Hall of Fame with Ultimate Warrior going in is a strong start. Just like when Bruno and just like Mick Foley was the first one announced, that when Bruno went in, that just, you know, added a whole dynamic to it. I think the Hall of Fame needs to have a headline guy, and Randy Savage is a headline guy. I think he would play second to Warrior. I'd rather him go in another year than this year.
Yeah, man, that's a good point. And don't be surprised if you see somebody from WCW go in. Because I got to express that the network launch is so huge that they're going to want to put focus on some of these guys from the past, from different promotions. So don't be shocked to see a guy like maybe even Goldberg, although I don't agree with him going in right now. Don't be surprised if that happens. I mean, he was in the video game. He's got a DVD, you know, so on and so forth. And I also would not be shocked to see the first ECW induction soon. Not saying that Tommy Dreamer is going to be the guy that's the first induction, but I think it's possible. And it's also, you know, it's up in the air, obviously. But I think it's a good idea to go to different promotions and start inducting people. If you're going to utilize this content, you want to bring it out to the audience and make them go back and watch it. That's the whole point of the network. And final thoughts by Seth on the Hall of Fame and everything, man.
Well, Ultimate Warrior is a great start to this year's class, and last year's class is going to be difficult to follow up, but I hope that you're right in terms of it being available on the network. I think that would be beneficial for everyone. And hope to see, again, a mix of different people, not just from the same era.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I think that's for sure going to happen. They've done it before where it's from the same era. I can point my finger at WrestleMania 21, where you had Hogan, Piper, Orndorff, Cowboy Bob Orton. That's pretty much that entire WrestleMania 1 main event right there, aside from Mr. T. You had who else was in it that year, man? Jesus, I think Jimmy Hart. There was a ton of guys that were in it that year, all from the same kind of era of wrestling. Iron Sheik, Nikolai Volkoff, those guys, so on and so forth. So it's happened before in the past. I don't expect it to happen this year because, as you mentioned earlier, man, there's such a pool of talent out there. There's so many guys. But again, I think Will mentioned earlier, you don't want to use everybody in the same year. You want to keep those headliners for, you know, next year and the year after that and the year after that. And there's only so many guys who can headline something like the Hall of Fame. But we're going to shift gears. I promised some TNA talk, and I'm going to bring you some TNA talk right here, right now. And I'm going to kick it off with Toph because Toph is our resident TNA diehard fan. I mean, don't get me wrong. I watch the show every week, but I don't have the passion for TNA wrestling like Toph does. And there's a big show coming up this Thursday night. I believe it's Genesis. Some big matches on the card. But TNA's future, I'm not saying it's in doubt, but there's kind of foggy right now. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know where they're going to land. We don't know what the future plans are for TNA as far as taping TV and their relationship with Spike. And, you know, AJ Styles is gone now, and just so many things are happening. So, Toph, let's start it off with you, man, and tell me your thoughts. And we'll do a little preview of Genesis because I want people to watch that show. I think it's going to be solid.
First, let's talk about that crazy match.
Okay, yeah, if you want to talk about Magnus AJ, which was, I think, taped like three or four weeks in advance. Yeah, give us your thoughts on that, man. That was you want to talk crazy, that for sure was crazy. That match literally, bro, was booked throughout the entire show.
Yeah. All right, so to our listeners out there, Last Impact was actually a pretty solid show, but the main event, like, holy Jesus, man, it was just a huge cluster, you know what. It just reeked of Vince Russo booking. To sort of sum this up quickly, what really happened was throughout the entire show, random people, mostly babyfaces, well, all babyfaces, were attacked. First, it was ODB that was attacked, and it was implied that Gail Kim and LaTapa attacked her. And so Eric Young took his wife, because, you know, Eric Young and ODB are married. Eric Young took ODB to the hospital to get checked up, so that was how they got rid of Eric Young. James Storm and Gunner were attacked, and they were left out. Samoa Joe had a match with EC3, and he was jumped by EC3 and the Rockstar Spud. I believe Joe got hit in the leg with, like, a steel pipe or something, so that was how they got rid of Joe. So it was, like, one by one, like, all these babyface guys, basically friends of AJ, were taken out. So, you know, the odds would be more in Magnus's favor. So this AJ versus Magnus. Now, sometimes, you know, as wrestling fans, you know, we can go to a dirt sheet website, you know, like SmackDown spoilers or Impact spoilers. You can read a spoiler, and, you know, reading something and visualizing it and seeing it on TV are two different things. And clearly, the visual of what I thought this match would be was nowhere near what I thought it would be. When I read the spoilers, I thought it was going to be like classic WCW, just, you know, 10 minutes of action and then a shitload of run-ins, you know. But what it really was AJ and Magnus, and, like, right from the very beginning, before the bell even rung, you had EC3 and Rockstar Spud come out, making it 3-on-1, and then Sting came out assisting him, making it 3-on-2, but then the Bromans came out, thus making it 5-on-2, but then somehow AJ was basically being Superman, kicking out of everything, and then this led to Bad Influence coming out, making it 7-on-2, and then this led to Sting brawling with, like, 3 to 4 people at the same time, while AJ's basically getting triple-teamed, kicking out of everything. I mean, they were hitting everything on him, and then eventually Bobby Roode comes out, he nails that new finisher, and that finally puts him away. And so Magnus wins. It was just a lot of run-ins. Like, the last time I've really seen that many run-ins in a legit match, because normally, like, because the difference is, what made it different with Nitro was when someone did a run-in, the bell would ring and it would be a DQ, so it would be disqualification, so the match was over anyway. So all the run-ins wouldn't really hurt. Same thing for the Attitude Era on Monday Night Raw, but what makes this different was this was an actual legit match. It was no DQ, so all of these run-ins were legal, so it was really confusing. At times, you kind of forgot it was a one-on-one match between AJ and Magnus and stuff, but I have not seen that many legit run-ins since Yokozuna and The Undertaker at the Royal Rumble in 1994, when it was all those guys just literally jumping Taker, to anyone that remembers that. So in the end, Magnus wins. The fans were into it. They were like standing the entire time. They were cheering AJ. They were booing Magnus. And as unusual and as crazy as the match was, it actually drew a high rating for TNA. They drew like a 1.4, which is the highest rating they've had in a very long time. So as crazy as it was, it was a draw. I don't know if they turned in for AJ or if they turned in because they wanted to see, you know, two TNA guys, because TNA, AJ, and Magnus are TNA guys. Whatever reason you want to say, you know, the match, it drew well. At first, I was really confused. I'm not really sure what they were trying to accomplish, because there's a lot of stories told. Like, the fact that it took that many guys to beat AJ, that puts AJ over. Are they trying to make Magnus a chicken shit heel? Because if that was what they were trying to accomplish, they succeeded. I'm not really too sure. It was very strange. I actually got into an argument with my brother about it. When I first finished watching Impact, I wasn't really sure how I felt about it. And my brother told me straight up, he's much older than I am, by the way, he's like in his later 40s, he told me that any Attitude Era fan that dislikes that match is a hypocrite. And I'm like, why do you call them a hypocrite? And he said, because that was basically how every match was, like, in 99 and 2000, and it was hot back then, but now these same fans don't like it anymore. So basically he was trying to say that Attitude Era-style booking doesn't work in today's product. I might somewhat agree there, but at the same time, like I said earlier in my rant, most of the time when it was a shitload of run-ins, the bell would ring and it would be a DQ. This was a legit match. So I'm not really sure what they were trying to accomplish here. If they were trying to accomplish getting Magnus over as a chicken shit heel, they succeeded. But Magnus wins. He's your new TNA champion. So they'll be going into UK soon. I'm sure it'll be a great positive reaction. You know, they love UK loves TNA over there. And, you know, Magnus, you know, he'll be embraced like a god over there, I'm sure. So that'd be good exposure for Magnus, good exposure for TNA. You got Genesis coming this Thursday. Maybe this is just me, but I feel like Bobby Roode might turn face soon. I don't know why. I just have this feeling. I just have this feeling that he might turn face. I don't know why. I don't know. I have nothing to base this off on. I just have this feeling that Bobby Roode might turn face soon. Overall, crazy. It was a good show. Just that main event was just crazy. As far as what TNA will do now, well, you know, right now they have, I believe when they go to UK, they'll do about 4 tapings. And then there's Genesis, which will be live, I believe, this Thursday. So they're pretty much covered until, like, late February. And so right now I believe that I think that TNA as we know it might end this year. And when I mean end, I don't mean the company is going to fold or anything. I think that I could definitely see Dixie or whoever the hell is in charge basically giving it to someone else. I can see, like, a name change or something of that nature. I'm seeing some severe change coming for TNA, not in a negative way, but I can't see TNA in its current form surviving 2014. I see something happening. I see someone else purchasing the whole thing, possibly another name change, a new owner, a new look. You know, this thing with Dixie is just not working it. But, you know, I hope TNA, I hope the wrestlers there, the people on the roster, I hope that, you know, they continue working because the wrestling company, the wrestling business in general, it needs TNA, you know, because there's a lot of guys out there that, you know, deserve the television exposure. And, you know, for whatever reason, they may not get a WWE contract, you know, or for whatever reason, they may not want to go to Ring of Honor. So TNA is the next best thing. So if TNA folds, it's going to hurt the wrestling business as a whole. So, you know, hopefully things can get better in the future.
Yeah, I have this suspicion that Jeff Jarrett might have something to say about the future of TNA. Just because he resigned from the company, and he did that, and almost immediately, a couple days later, there were these rumors popping up with him and Toby Keith, and I actually have it on good authority that it's pretty much true that him and Toby Keith are going to pull their money together. And if you don't know who Toby Keith is, he's a gigantic country music star who has just an unfathomable amount of money. This guy is loaded. He's got tons of cash. So, and he's got tons of connections as well. This guy's in the entertainment business. He's got loads of connections. Connections with venues, connections with other entertainers, people with really deep pockets. So if this is the case, I'm not sure if they're going to start a promotion from scratch or not. But if they can make a legit offer to kind of, like what you said, to kind of buy TNA, maybe change the branding, change the logo, the name, I think it could be good for the company in general. Because let's face it, man, that when these companies, and I was talking about this with my friend the other day, like TNA, ROH, not utilizing that W for wrestling, I think it hurts them overall from a brand recognition standpoint. NXT, we don't have to worry about that because that's under the WWE umbrella. And WWE is what people know as pro wrestling in this country. So not having that W in the name definitely hurts their brand recognition over the course of the long term. They've had so many big stars in the company, and they haven't been able to really draw consistently a rating or buy rates or whatever the case may be over time. Now, with the WWE Network starting, it changed the game because TNA is going to be head-to-head with NXT every week. I'm not sure if NXT is going to be live every week or if they're going to tape a bunch of shows in one night and then show them throughout the weeks. But the first show is going to be live. I know that for a fact. TNA's ratings drop from NXT being on the air live, TNA's got some issues. I mean, they had a big rating last Thursday for AJ and Magnus. I think it was a mixture of all the things you mentioned, Toph. That's why there's a big rating. And also, football is off on Thursday nights. But TLD, you know, TNA's future is kind of in doubt, right? Not in doubt, but it's kind of up in the air. They don't really have a home. They're going to be – it was announced that they're going to turn a house show into a TV taping. So what are your thoughts on TNA and their current direction?
Well, I thought actually the way they took AJ Styles, even though it was a complete cluster, I thought it was actually kind of a smart cluster in a way too, because it gets a lot of heat on a lot of the heels. I think, like, right now, I think TNA is doing a good job building the stars that they need to build. I feel like the Bromans tag team is a great tag team on the show right now. I think Magnus needs to be the top heel in the company, you know, right now. I just think he's just they need some kind of strong heel. And all the things they did on this show, Sting was just trying his best to help out, but he's one guy, you know, trying to help AJ Styles. Why would you have AJ Styles get over in a way, because he's not even in the company anymore. So why bother? You know, AJ went out looking pretty, you know, he went out pretty strong considering he fought so many guys. I thought it was like, you know, it's like you want to go to that TV screen and just want to punch every one of those people because you're so angry how AJ's getting completely robbed and no one's doing anything about it. But, you know, there has to be a consequence to where someone has this power and is, you know, why would you want to work for a company that does something like that? I think that's kind of like pushing it a little too far. I think that the faces should have never been taken out. I think they should have ran to the ring but just got taken out by the heels rather than just all of them, none of them show up. That was the only thing about it I didn't like. But I think they have a lot of good build going into their show, especially with Gunner and James Storm. I like that, where that's going. I think next week, I think Genesis is going to be a good show to watch. Bully Ray and Candison, they got some pretty, they had that little scene again at the memorial home with the casket again. They brought that back into it. It's just a good dimension of that story that's going on. But a new side of Bully Ray we haven't seen, that's more of like a really evil looking side. So I'm really enjoying, as far as the product, I actually think it's pretty good right now. You know, going forward, I just don't know who's going to be the top face now. They have to build somebody, you know, up to be the top face. You can't have Sting do it because he can't get a title shot. So who are you going to put up there to go against Magnus? I think that's the big thing. Who's going to be their top face?
Well, I wrote an article yesterday. You can find it at ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. If you haven't read it, go check it out. It's about who will be next to fight Magnus. And I listed a few guys, you know. I know Jeff Hardy right now isn't with them because they're going to the UK. And since he's a convicted felon, he can't go overseas. So they wrote him off, and he's not doing those UK shows. But he'll be back eventually, and I think he'll be a good guy to put in front of Magnus at some point. Another dude is Austin Aries. Austin Aries has really been without any legitimate direction since his run with Bobby Roode kind of fizzled out, his tag team. So Austin Aries is a guy that needs to be built back up. He's gone back and forth from heel to face so many times. Now he's a babyface. He's not really doing anything. I mean, he's a guy we barely saw on Impact. I don't even think we saw him on Impact last week. And if we did, I missed it. So he's a guy who's been kind of a loner lately, and I think he could be a big, big, big challenge to Magnus. However, I think Magnus is going to have a pretty long run with a strap. If you want to get some good matches together and get some good in-ring chemistry for Magnus, I think Austin Aries is the guy. But you're right, Will. You got to kind of get babyfaces built up to face him. And especially since Dixie Carter is kind of building this, I don't want to say it, but kind of authority around her at this point, you're going to need babyfaces. And I have a feeling Gunner is going to join them too. And James Storm is going to be another guy who's going to be involved with Magnus, I think, in the future, because he is another dude who's back in that title hunt. He, you know, Gunner, I think, stole the briefcase from him at Feast or Fired. So they have a match over the briefcase this coming Thursday. And if James Storm wins it, then he gets a title shot. I can see it possibly happening. Not sure, though. I really can't. I can never tell what TNA is going to do because they're so inconsistently bad all the time. So, well, you know, they're good sometimes. Seth, I don't know how much you watch TNA, but there's a lot of talk about their future and whether it's going to change, what direction it's going to go in. If you are the guy in charge of TNA, what would you do with this company to get it back on track? Seth, you there? Okay, I think Seth isn't
here. Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, wait, hold on. Seth is here. Hold on. Seth is here. What would you do, bro, to get TNA back on track if you were the guy making the decisions?
Yeah, I haven't watched TNA, I would say, in a month or two, actually.
Why?
But
Let me ask you. While we're on that, why haven't you watched it?
I think that it's just so poorly done. I don't know, everything from the production to even the storylines. You know, people complain about WWE storylines all the time. They don't do this, you know, for whatever reason. But I find TNA's storylines to be even weaker. I think that their talent is good. You know, they have some young guys in there that I do like, that I think have a lot of good talent. But I just think nothing's done well. And if you want to raise the question that you were asked, I would get some serious wrestling people to be writing the shows, and you know, because it seems like, you know, Dixie Carter's not a wrestling person. I know this is probably an argument that's probably been made many times in the past. I don't know how long she's been in charge of TNA, but you know, she's just comes from a media background, which, you know, can be helpful, but shouldn't be the one running the company.
Yeah, I agree. And we're going to shift from TNA, bro. We just have breaking news now that Mae Young has passed away. The other night, I guess she was taken off life support, but it's been confirmed now. There was a lot of conflicting reports the other night, I guess before the weekend started, about whether she was alive or not. I blame Mike Mooneyham for that. But now it's been confirmed that Mae Young has indeed passed away. Alicia passed away tragically.
Stephanie McMahon tweeted it.
Yes, Stephanie McMahon is the one that broke the news, and when you hear it from her, you know it's got to be true. So now we got a couple minutes left in the show. I'm going to go across the panel, and we're going to share our thoughts quickly, because we only got a couple minutes left. We'll quickly share our thoughts on Mae Young and her passing away. So, Seth, since I got you on the line, I'm going to start with you.
Well, I recently did a podcast with my good friend Eric at Camel Clutch Blog, and we were talking about WWE comebacks, and I mentioned Fabulous Moolah and Mae Young and how, you know, they obviously were very well known at young ages and were very successful at young ages, and it was great to see them both come back during the Attitude Era and continue to be successful. And we've seen Mae Young in recent years, and she was very successful, so you know, I'm sure she's already in the Hall of Fame, but I'm sure there'll be a lot of talk of her over the next couple of weeks, for sure.
Yeah, it's always sad, you know. She was old, 90 years old. God, I'll be so lucky to make it to 90 the way I've been doing things in my life. But, yeah, it's amazing that she made it that long. But, Will, thoughts on Mae Young?
Mae Young was so entertaining, you know. So many amazing moments in the Attitude Era. To think a woman of that age, you know, how many women that age would take their top down at the Royal Rumble and go through tables. It's just and some of the most classic moments of the Attitude Era were her, you know, doing some crazy things that I don't think any older woman in the world would ever do. Just so much fun to watch. When Mae Young was on TV, it's just, you know, you always remember those moments from her. And I think, you know, I never watched her wrestling career, but learned about her when she was coming in doing these spots with her and Moolah. Just so much fun to watch. And, you know, it's a shame she's gone, but, man, she brought us some great entertaining television.
Yeah, she, you know, my buddy Ronnie just shot me a tweet, and he says that she went out like a true champ, and she really did. I mean, she fought till the very end. She taken off life support, and she still was able to survive a few days, and that's big, you know. That's big. It's just a testament to her will and how strong she really was. Toph, final thoughts on Mae Young?
Mae Young was a tough old bird. I found out recently that
when the Dudleys put her through a table, that was actually May's idea, and Bubba was against it. He didn't want to put her through a table, but Mae Young told Bubba that she wanted to be treated like the guys, and she demanded that she get powerbombed as if she was one of the guys, and she took it. Not many people would take that, guys or girls, and she took it, so she was tough. She'll be missed.
Yeah, definitely, and she got powerbombed off the stage through a table. It's not like it was some rinky-dick powerbomb in the ring. Bubba Ray had her on the stage and jumped off the stage. I mean, obviously, it was padded to hell, but you know, like you said, not everybody's going to take that bump. It's not a bump to take, and being that it was the Attitude Era, it was just as shocking as it could possibly be. So we send our condolences to the family and friends of Mae Young. She lived a great life, 90 years old. We'll all be lucky to make it that far. But we're going to wrap things up tonight. We've had a long show. I only wanted to do an hour. We ended up going the full two, and that's great. But Toph, your final thoughts tonight on PWP Radio.
Hey, this is a good show, and looking forward to next week because we'll be talking about whatever Batista did on Raw.
And we'll be talking to none other than Diamond Dallas Page. Bang! Really psyched about that. I can't wait to talk to DDP. And Will, final thoughts on tonight's show, man.
No, just a great show. Love talking to you guys, talking about some good wrestling. Big things happened in the last week, you know. And next week, talking to Diamond Dallas Page is going to be really awesome. That's going to be fun to talk to him and get some insight on him on yoga and his wrestling career. So it'll definitely be a fun week next week. I would definitely tune in.
Yeah, I'm hearing that EDP is pretty long-winded, but I'm going to try to get in some of my own physical fitness questions and stuff, and then I'll shoot it to you guys for a couple of wrestling-related questions if he wants to talk about them. I really want to ask him about Randy Savage, too. I think that would be a great question because I watched the Best of Nitro Volume 2 Blu-ray recently, and he told a Randy Savage story that was fantastic. And if you haven't heard it, I'm going to maybe tell him to ask him to tell that story because it was just a great story. And, you know, maybe say a little bit of candid stuff on the Macho Man. And, Seth, man, thanks for calling in tonight. We appreciate it. And I'll give you your final thoughts on tonight's show.
Yeah, great show. Great to be back on PWP Radio. And you never know when I'll call in next.
Yeah, man, if you ever want, like, your own show again, just let me know.
Will
do. All right, bro. Thanks so much. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, Diamond Dallas Page will be with us live here next week on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And it's going to be a huge interview. I'm so excited to talk to DDP. And also, I'm going to remind you one more time to sign up for Audible.com. Head over to audibletrial.com/PWP Radio for your free audiobook and free 30-day trial only at audibletrial.com/PWP Radio. And thanks so much to everybody who called in, the Twitter questions. And, yeah, we had an awesome show tonight. I'm really excited for next week. So take it easy, guys. Keep it real. Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio, episode number 67, is off the air. Keep it real.
The big guy. The big guy. The big guy.